We've been going through the book of Romans, and we're still going through the book of Romans. It's a long, slow trek, but there's so much doctrinal truths that are in Romans, we can't just flippantly run through it. Last week, what we looked at, if you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, that's where we were. We got through the first 10 verses in Romans chapter 6. We'll be picking up there again. There's in this portion of Scripture, actually, I'm going to back up just a little bit like I always do, you know, to keep people up to where they need to be, up to where they're at. And if we'll start in 6 and verse 6, we'll see the first word there is knowing this. Knowing, we must know that our old man was crucified. And as we talked about last week, as we looked at it, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to the sin. Well, what does that mean? You know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sin nature died with him on that cross. It died. Your sin nature is dead. It is nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. So why do we keep on sinning? Why does the sin nature still live if it's dead? Well, it's, have you ever taken, wrung a chicken's neck? Okay, if you ever have, you know, you go out, you get your chicken. My grandma used to do this, and she had a special little hook. It was a hook on a pole. And she'd reach into the hen house, and she'd grab her hand, she'd pull it out. And she'd grab that hen, she'd grab it by the head, and she'd give it a couple twists, and his head would come off. Chicken would lay down on the ground. He would run around for a while, you know, and kick and flop his legs and stuff like that. Well, was that chicken dead? Yeah, he was dead. Was he still moving? Yes, he was. Okay. The sin nature of that chicken came off my grandma's hand. He was dead. The head was took off the body. He was dead. But the reactions, the muscles and the stuff, his old nature kept kicking until she put him in the pot of boiling water and pulled those feathers off. And so anyhow. But so that's the same thing. You know, we are crucified with Christ, and yet we live. Our sin nature, Jesus, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, He separates you from your sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Jesus takes your sin and He says that He drowns it in the deepest parts of the ocean. Your sin, although you are a sinner, you've been crucified with Christ. So He took that nature, the sin nature, and did away with it. Now, sin nature is a pretty interesting thing. Sin nature will continue to live if you allow it to live. Although Jesus sees it as dead, just like that chicken was dead, but it still had life in the chicken. Okay? Your sin nature, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, that nature is crucified with Christ, and it is dead. But first thing that we need to know is from verse 6, is that in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. All right, so before Jesus Christ came into your life, before you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you couldn't help but sin. You could not help it. When you drank alcohol, you didn't see nothing wrong with it. I didn't. I thought, I'm off work. You know, it's time for me to hit the six pack, you know, and that's what I did almost every day, you know. And so did I see that as wrong? No, I deserved it. You know, I deserved it. I thought that whatever I did was right in my own eyes. Why? Because I thought it that way. And so that sin, that's the sin called the pride of life. And I had that. We all had it. Now, that sin, after I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, became dead. Okay, now I am no longer under the bondage. I was no longer a slave to the sin nature that was in me. My nature, my sin nature, was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. And that sin nature no longer ruled, no longer had dominion over my life after I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Before I accepted Him as my Savior, I could not help myself but to live in the flesh. Because that's all I knew. My whole knowledge, everything that I knew, everything that I could think of, was wrapped up in what I could do for myself. Does anybody understand that? I mean, isn't that what we are before we know Christ Jesus? You do what you want to do. Why? Because you want to do it. And you really can't, you don't even see that it's wrong. If you're a guy and you go out to the bars and you chase down the little girls and stuff like that, you don't see that that's wrong. You think it's the natural thing to do. That's what you ought to do. Why? Because sin, the nature of sin is ruling in your life. After you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and He starts to convict you of the sin that you were doing before you knew God. Okay, now that sin nature, God already sees it as a done deal, as it said there in verse 6, that it has been crucified with Christ. Okay, it died. That sin should no longer reign, have dominion in your life anymore. Does that mean that you will not sin? No, you will sin again, but you won't be under the power of sin anymore. Okay, before I knew Christ, I had no way to get out from underneath the power of sin. I was caught in it. I was there. It was in my life. I could not do anything about it. Then Jesus came and He took His righteousness and He freed me from the bonds of my sin nature. And now I don't have to do the things that I used to do. I might choose to do the things that I used to, but I don't have to do them. Okay, before you come to Christ, you don't have a choice. You do the animal nature. You do just whatever feels good. You do it. You don't even try to control it. But then Jesus Christ comes into your life and that Spirit of God starts dwelling in your heart. And all of a sudden, the things that you used to do, you feel very uncomfortable about doing anymore. I mean, I can't go to the alcohol aisle in the grocery store. I can't do that. I mean, I don't care if there is Pepsi on one side and beer on the other. I mean, I can't even walk down that aisle. And that's a personal conviction of mine. Why? Because I know my flesh. And my flesh wants that Budweiser. You know, it does. And it's something that I make a choice to keep it constrained. Do I have the power to do that now? Yes, because my sin nature was crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Now, if before I was crucified with Christ, I had no choice. I would go down that aisle and I would say, no, I'm not going to get this one because I'm going to get four more just like that one, you know. And that's just the way that I was. Now, other people may not have that problem. It might be something else in their life. But I guarantee you, if you've been crucified with Christ, there's things in your life that God has said you no longer are underneath the bondage of that anymore. And when you're an alcoholic, it is a bondage. It's not something that you can easily walk away from. Without the power of Jesus Christ in you, you cannot break the bonds of alcoholism. And those, don't get me wrong, AA is a good thing. There's nothing innately wrong about it. But instead of taking 12 steps, you can take one step. You can take one step to Jesus Christ, and He'll cleanse you from that. And how do I know it? Been there and dry it out, okay? And by the grace of God, I have not been underneath the bondage of alcohol for a long time now. But before that, I was a drunk. Okay, I don't know any other way to put it. Before Christ, I was a drunk. After Christ, I'm no longer a drunk. What changed? Jesus. Jesus came in and crucified my sin nature. And He said, that no longer, you are no longer under bondage. And did I still have, every once in a while, it still pops up its head. You know, a couple weeks ago, during men's Bible study, a fellow gave us a whiskey cake. Oh, yeah. And don't get me wrong, the cake was very, and it had absolutely no alcohol in it. I think it was like 0.001% alcohol. Okay, but it had the taste of Jack Daniels. Okay, and me and Jack, we go way back. Okay, and we were buddies for a long time. And the first time I put that taste in my mouth, it came back to me. It came, my flesh came rushing in like a flood. And I ended up throwing, oh, I gave away a bunch of it, and I gave away the other part. I still kept the box because it's a really cool box. But, you know, I had to give it away. I had to get it out. I could not do it because it brought me right back to where I was the last time I was in a bar. You know, it brought me right back there immediately. The moment I smelt it, the moment it touched my lips, it just, bam, I was there. Now, was I clean in doing that? Yeah, it had no alcohol in it. It was absolutely alcohol-free. But it worked certain sensitive things in my brain, sensations in my brain.
I'm slobbering here. It worked certain sensories in my brain, and bam, I was there all of a sudden, and it just pulled me into that mess. And so I had to make that thing. Well, am I alive in Christ and dead to this, or am I alive to this and dead to Christ? I had a choice as I drove by the bar. You know, I had a choice to that. Do I go into the bar and finish soaking that case with a cake with a nice shot of Jack Daniels, or do I not? And so I had to make a physical choice. No, you're not going to do that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit told me it was wrong. In fact, James, when he first opened it, took one taste, he said, "This is wrong. I'm not eating it." And he consecrated himself from it right then. He took one bite and said, "Nope, not going to do it." Guys, I eat my peace. Okay. Just let you know, I eat my peace. It wasn't sin to me, but it did bring up the sensory perceptors, you know, came in, and I did have the longing for it. And it's been years since I smoked cigarettes, but every once in a while, I'll go by somebody who's smoking a cigarette, and man, I tell you, my flesh says, "You want one of those." And my spirit says, "You do it, you'll die." You know? And so it's one of those things. I am no longer under bondage of that. Okay, before Christ, I was under the bondage of that. I could have not said no. But because I've been freed through Jesus Christ, now I can walk away from that self. I have reckoned myself dead to the old man. No longer do I get into the mess that I used to, because I recognize it when it's coming, and I turn away and I turn to Christ. I turn away from the mess and I turn to the glory and the power of Jesus Christ. That's reckoning. You're figuring things out. You're putting it. Reckoning is an ancient bookkeeping term. It means to compare ledgers of assets and liabilities. Pros and cons is what we would call it. Pros and cons. Okay, so if we're reckoning something, we're looking at the pros of it and we're looking at the cons of it. And as intelligent human beings, we ought to be able to say, sin equals death. Life comes through Jesus Christ. And I got to reckon that. What do I want more? There's a great story that I read today about reckoning. It was a story about a young man. He had gone through some hard times in his life. He was a teenager in high school. One of his parents had passed away. And his family was not, the survivor wasn't able to feed the family. In the book I have in there, it goes into names and stuff. I didn't do that. A job became available that required the youngster to drop out of high school and to take a job at a filling station. Now, if he would have dropped out of high school, it would have helped the family. I mean, he could have helped ease up the pain of the family a little bit. But what would have that cost him in the long run? It would have cost him a chance for college. It would have cost him the rest of his high school education. Now, would have it put bread on the table for a season? Yes. But would have it really paid a dividend in the long run? No, because he would have dropped out of school and not been able to accomplish things in his life. And I say that, I'm a dropout, you know. And so anyhow, I say that with tongue in cheek. You know, you can do it if Christ is in you. God will allow you to do some stuff. So the young man had a choice to make. He reckoned the two. Should I quit high school and take this job at a filling station and work cleaning windshields and putting air in tires for the rest of my life? Or should I complete my education, possibly go to college and be able to actually do some real good 10 years down the road instead of just the temporary thing right now? Well, it doesn't tell what he did, but good reckoning would tell you that he would stayed in high school, finished his education, and became something later in life. Me, on the other hand, I went the other way. I didn't finish high school. It took me a long time of beating the bushes and just working myself to death and never really earning anything. Never really learning to read. Did I make it? Yeah, I made it, but was it easy? No, it was not. It would have been so much better if I could turn the clock back to where I was a goof off in school and go back to school and say, all right, I'm going to apply myself to learning. I'm going to apply myself, and I'm going to see where that application will take me later in life. That's the choice I would make, okay, today. But back then, I was so full of myself. I was so full of sin. I didn't want to do the logical thing. I didn't reckon it. I went to the fun side. You know, wow, it's fun for a season. Sin's always fun for a season. And did I make it through by the grace of God? Yes, I did. Was it the right choice at the time? No, it was not the right choice at the time. But did God honor it because I surrendered to Him? Yeah, He preserved me. And He'll preserve you even through bad mistakes. God reckoned me as dead when I came to Him. Okay, when I came to Him, He forgave me of my sin. My sin was crucified to the cross. And He gave me the power to get out from underneath the weight and the snares of Satan to pull yourself away from that mess. And He'll do it for all of us. To reckon means to really sit down and figure out what is what. Wow, I've only done one verse. And the next word is in verse 13. Do not present your members. All right. In the old King James, the word is yield. Okay. Don't yield your members. And when we think of yield, maybe a couple of things may come to your mind. Yield, like stop. It's a cautioning light. Yield. Don't yield your members. Well, actually, this is more like a farmer's term. Okay. You yield. You plant a seed, and there's a yield. Okay. There's an outcoming of the crop. You plant the seed grows into a plant, and then that plant yields the same thing that it was put in. So in the old King James, it says, don't yield your members. Don't give your members. Don't put your sin back in the yielding process. It says, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as the instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. All of that that I've said up to now comes to that one verse. We are not under the law. We're not under the condemnation. If you have trusted Jesus Christ, you have a choice not to yield your members to sin, but give yourself to righteousness. Don't give yourself to unrighteousness as the church, as the bride of Christ. God wants us to take this word of His, make the adjustments in our life to whatever this Bible tells us to do. Okay, and as we do that, we'll stop yielding our life to unrighteousness. Because it's already taken care of, as it told us in verse 6. It was crucified on the cross with Jesus Christ. The sin nature has been dealt with. Now it comes up to us as the responsible members of the contract. Are we going to yield ourselves to unrighteousness or yield ourselves to the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Now we have a choice. That is our free will. You can yield yourself to the bottle. You can yield yourself to your sin nature. Or you can yield yourself to the righteousness that's written in God's Word. Free will. You have the will to do it. But how does Christ see you? He sees you not under the law because your sin was dealt with on the cross. Okay, that sin to God is like that chicken with his head cut off. It's a done deal. The chicken may be flopping around, but it's a dead duck or chicken. It's a dead chicken. It's not going to do anything else except for flop around for a while. Your sin nature, all it's doing in you is flopping around. Now, you might take and try to gather that sin nature up, that chicken with its head cut off, gather it up and breathe life back into it. And with modern science and stuff, you might be able to do that. I don't know. But it's a silly thing to do because it's already a done deal. It's already been dealt with, the sin nature. And so we're to reckon ourselves, to yield, to know that our sin nature is dealt with on the cross, to reckon in ourselves, to be dead to that sin nature and alive to God, and not to present or not to yield our members or as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield or present ourselves to God as being alive from our sin nature and our members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, see, that sin nature is dead, right? Remember in verse 6, it's dead. That sin nature is dead. It does not have dominion. It doesn't rule you like it used to rule you before you knew Jesus Christ. You know somebody now who's outside of Christ, who's not saved. He is being ruled, tormented by his sin. He is stuck in it and cannot get out of it in and of himself. He must come to the cross. The power lies in the cross of Jesus Christ. And as we rely on the cross of Jesus Christ, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? That's Scripture. So what's it take? We acknowledge we're a sinner. We confess to Jesus Christ that we're a sin, and we allow Him to take that nature and to crucify it, to kill it, to deal with it. And then from that point, we have the choice not to yield this vessel anymore. I am not under my sin problem anymore. Was I a drunk? Yes, I was a drunk, but I'm no longer an alcoholic. Glory to God. Okay, those folks who say, I was an alcoholic and went to the 12-step program and I'll always be an alcoholic. Lie, 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 lie. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that if you surrender to Jesus Christ, He cleanses you from that unrighteousness and He brings you from that sin nature to a new person. All things are made new. You don't have to be yielded to the sin. You choose to be yielded to the sin. Now, is there a price to pay for that? Yes, there is a price to be paid for that. And He says in the very next sentence, although we are freed from a sin, it says what then? Well, okay, guys, what? All right, what? Since we know that we are made righteous through Jesus Christ, okay, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. No. No, because you have been freed from the law of sin. You have been freed from that. If you were a slave in the Americas or anywhere in the world, you were a slave. You had a master. Somebody owned you. And that master said, hey, I set you free. Why would you go back and say, nope, I would rather be bound up by you? You know, I would rather be back in the cotton fields. I would rather be back there enslaved and being whipped every day by you. That would be stupid, wouldn't it? Okay, we have been freed from the law of sin and death. Okay, so why do we go back and put ourselves underneath the sin? God has freed you. He set you free. It'd be like a coyote or any wild animal. You got caught in a snare. Okay? And then somebody comes and releases you from that snare. You're out from underneath the burden of that trap. You're not in it no more. And so instead of being a smart one, you go and you hang out there and you get re-caught again. Well, was that smart? No. You shouldn't have been around there. You shouldn't have been doing it. You were set free. You set any animal free from a trap. What do? They bolt. Dude, they are gone. And they will not go back. They're smart enough, they won't go back to it. Now, us as human beings, we ain't smart as a stupid animal. You know? Because God sets us free from our sin, and what do? We go right back to it. You know, Peter says that a dog returns to its vomit. Okay? A dog. Or it always goes back to the same sin nature that it had. It always goes back to it. It throws something up and it goes and eats it again. If you've ever had a dog, you know that it does that. Why does it do that? I don't know, but you let your dog lick you on the face. Different story. A dog can't help it because he's not been let loose of that nature. Okay? That's the nature of a dog. Now, what's the nature of a dog? He throws his legs up in the air and he drags his tail across your carpet. That's the nature of a dog. You can't help it. You can't break him from it. That's what a dog does. He can't. That's a dog. Okay, now we have been set free from our dog life. Okay, God has set us free. Our nature of being a sinful human being has been set free, nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. And He set us free. So why then should we continue in the sin that we've been set free from? Because we're ignorant. Okay, a lot of us, especially in the church, really don't realize how free you are. I mean, you are free. You don't have to go back to it. You don't have to go back to what Peter said, the dog returns to his own vomit. You don't have to do that. You might choose to do that, but that's your choice. It's not before you had no choice. You had to go back to it. But you have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you don't have to go back to that anymore. And so, should we sin? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, no. Well, certainly not. Do you not know, and this is a neat thing, do you not know that whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Okay? You have the choice. I've said it before. It's that barbarian. I have the power. In Christ, you have the power. You don't have to be under your sin nature no more. You don't got to do it. You do it. We do it. But why do we do it when you ain't got to do it? Yeah, that's because you don't realize how free you are. You don't understand the liberty that you have in Christ Jesus. Free, free at last, free at last. Thank God I'm free at last. I'm going to pull that from Martin Luther. Free at last. We are free at last because of the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. We don't have to live underneath the burden of sin anymore because it is crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ and yet I live. And in verse 18, let's go back to 17. But God be thanks that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. Gets that? Confession. And then by the heart. You obeyed by the heart that form of doctrine which we delivered. And that form of doctrine is simply the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you were a slave to sin. That sin nature was crucified. And you were set free from that by the power of Jesus Christ. And it says in 18, And having been set free from sin, you are slaves. You became slaves to righteousness. Okay? You are a slave to righteousness in freedom. Okay? A bondservant. A bondservant to righteousness. You choose to do the right thing. You choose to follow Jesus Christ. And it is a choice. It's a choice that each of us got to make individually. I can't make the choice from you. For you. Okay? Now I can bring you to the Word of God and I said, this is what God's Word says. Check it out. Read it for yourself. I try very hard to stay strict to the Scriptures. This is what the Bible teaches. Okay? Now, you have a free choice to believe it or not. Whether you don't believe it doesn't take it away from being true. A lot of people don't believe in gravity until they jump off a building. They believe in it before they hit the ground. A lot of folks don't believe in the Word of God. Well, before that, they will stand in judgment of God someday. And in that day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They may not believe today, but I'm telling you, there's a day that they're going to stand before God Almighty and they will believe then. Just like that fellow jumped off the building. He didn't believe in gravity, but when he got to the end, he believed. Okay, so we as the church, what's that mean to you? What's that mean to me? I must make a choice to live in righteousness. Why? Because I have been set free from the law of sin and death, and I have been freed to righteousness. I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I am free to follow God. And if I follow God, He promises me life and life abundantly. Okay, now that doesn't mean that everybody gets a Cadillac in your garage and a new house every year. No. That's not what it means. It means that when the storms and the troubles of life come, I will be able to have joy in the midst of a hurricane. When all of my world is falling apart around me, there's death, destruction, disease, and the hurt of life is around me, I can have peace. I can have abundant peace. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ covers me, protects me, longs. Well, and if you're in Jesus Christ, you too. This ain't about me. But I can say it because I've lived it. I know that the peace of God that goes on way out beyond understanding, you know, is in Christ Jesus. And as I come to the point of remembering that my sin nature was crucified, it is dead. Now I just need to live like it's dead. I've got to believe that my sin nature is dead so much that I make those adjustments in my life that no longer will sin rule in my mortal body. And that's a choice you got to make. I can't make it for you. Okay, you got to make that choice. Do you believe God or you don't believe God? If you don't believe God, live like the world. And I tell you what, you'll stand before Jesus someday and you'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we go to Charity Bible Church? Three times a week? Didn't we pay the tithe? Didn't we helped in the parade? We helped in this, we helped in that. And Jesus will look you dead in the eye and said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Yeah, great, cool. You went to church. You went to a building. You hung around believers. But you never surrendered your sin nature to the cross. You never gave it up. Okay? And that's a personal choice between you and Jesus Christ. I can't make you do it. I can tell you that if you do it, there's a great reward. There's the peace of God that you will have. There's the joy in the midst of trouble that you'll have. There's a love. My goodness. When you surrender to Jesus Christ in the right attitude, God gives you this neat love. And I mean, it doesn't matter what people do to you, you can love them in the middle of it. Yeah, and that is so unnatural. You know, there's nothing natural about that. Jesus said they'll smack you on one cheek and you'll offer up the other one. You know, they'll say all kinds of nasty things about you and you'll love them anyhow. You know, why? Because you chose to surrender to the cross of Jesus Christ, and He enables you to do the things that only God can do. And so, I really wanted to get through chapter 6 tonight. If you choose to live in your sinful lifestyle, it will pay a dividend at the end. And that dividend will be death, a spiritual, everlasting condemnation that comes from God. Okay? You, and it's your choice. You're making the choice every day. Every day you're believing, sucking air, and you're trusting yourself more than you're trusting God. You're making that choice. And God's saying, hey, I love you. My arms are not too short to save you. But if you stay in the sin that you are in, God says that those wages are death. The payout is death. What you're going to get back for living in a sinful lifestyle is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, or life eternal. You don't have to have it. You don't have to. Anyhow, so tonight I pray that the Lord spoke to you somewhere between here and there. Let me ask you a personal question, because Sunday I'm going to get personal with you. Who here has money problems? I do. I got money problems. Oh, yeah. I got money problems. You know why? Because there are many times that I didn't follow what the Scripture said about money. We've been doing a series this whole month, Set Your House in Order. And so we talked about walking with God to get your house in order. Husbands submitting to your wives. Wives and husbands submitting to one another in the grace of God. That's setting your house in order. I should have brought my notes. Last week we talked about something else, about sin. Getting your sin purged out of your life, setting your house in order. And this week I'm going to get personal, and I got some things from Crown Financial. It's a 30-day planner where you keep track of every dime that you spend, and it's a way to build a budget to set your life, your financial life, in order. And that's, if you've never set a budget, this is something, it's the first of the year. We need to get a budget, okay? Where's your money going, all right? The best way to stop a ship from sinking is find out where it's leaking and patch it, right? You know, wow, there's a hole in the bottom of the boat and I'm sinking. What do you do? Well, you got to fix it. You know, and so this last part of this is setting our lives in order financially for this next year. I would love to see next year everybody be out of debt in a year. It could be done. It's not easy. All those things where you eat out, you might have to cut them out. But anyhow, we'll talk about that Sunday. If you're interested, I have things to hand you. I got handouts. I got books to give, or papers to give, and stuff like that. And so it's not that I'm just going to say, pay the tithe and everything's going to be all right. No, I'm going to say, all right, let's really look at your financial statements. What's what? What's the truth? And figure out how to work with what you got. And so so by the grace of God, if you want to come Sunday, that's what's going on. Dear Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would give our lives and allegiance to You. Lord, that we would strive to walk in ways that would please You in all that we do. Oh, Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, I pray that we would give ourselves to Thee. For You and Your atonement, You did give Yourself for me. Lord, may I not know any other master except for You, that my sin debt is paid. Father, I thank You for that. My heart, Father, allow it to be Your throne. Father, I pray that my life, I will give it to You from this day forward to live through me. O Christ, I'll live for You and You alone. Lord, we thank You for those words of that song, and I pray that that would be a true prayer for each of us. That You, Lord God, would be high and lifted up in our lives. Father, teach us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and allow these things to be done in us that you would have done. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Father, we thank you for the day, for the weather. Woo-hoo! And we praise, Lord God, that as folks travel home tonight, that you would grant travel mercies, that they'd be able to arrive safely, and that you would be glorified in everything said and done through this body for the next week. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.